You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday evening, February 5th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Model Church Member.
Take your Bible, please. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4. I'm going to do something slightly different tonight that I have not done here in a while. And even though I've not done what I'm going to do tonight in a while, it's even going to be a little bit different because I have some signs, and of course I have these made in the Philippines, so you're going to see the peso there. But I want you to see something tonight, and I preached this at the conference in the Philippines about what a model church member in God's sight should be. What should a person that is a model church member be in God's sight? You know, we can come up with what we think a model church member should be, and we may be right or we may be wrong or we may be half on and half off, but when God puts something down in His Word, then God surely is right on. And so we're going to look at it tonight. You need not to stand, but I do want you to follow along in your Bible. Acts chapter 4, verse 36, the Bible says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus." We're going to pray one more time. Father, we need you tonight to work in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you'll teach us a truth tonight that would be a life changer. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at that scripture one more time. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And Joseph, the Bible says, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and it says, of the country of Cyprus. I want us to notice his name, Barnabas. If you were to look that word up, the name Barnabas, and just do a word study on it tonight, it means pain. So if you're a Bible note taker, you could write what his name means in the margin of your Bible. It means pain. It means toil. It means torment. It means toss. It means vexation. And so here was a man that lived a painful life. Here was a man that lived a life of toil. Here was a man that lived a life of torment. Here was a man that lived a life being tossed to and fro. Here was a man that experienced vexation in his life, emptiness in his life. But never one time in your Bible do you ever see that Barnabas got down. Never one time do you see that Barnabas ever became discouraged. Never one time in your Bible do you see that Barnabas ever thought of giving up, throwing in the towel, and walking away from the will of God for his life. Now, I want to show us some things tonight that will help us. You know, it was Bobby Lane that said this many years ago. He said, "I never lost a football game in all my life. I simply just ran out of time." Now, did you know that you and I ought to decide that we are going to go forward to accomplish whatever God has for us to accomplish, and it doesn't matter how long it takes to accomplish that feat in our life? I'm going to give you some of the attributes, and of course, these were signs made in the Philippines, so they're made Filipino style, but I want you to notice some things. I'm going to draw a picture tonight on what the model church member should really be like, and I'll call different ones up to hold the signs. It's already been picked, so don't run up here if you've not been asked, but we'll get different ones to come up and hold the signs, and what they'll do is they'll start over here in the choir, and they'll wrap all the way over to the end where you can see them. So give me the first guy, if you will. Come up here and hold this. Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible teaches. The book of Acts chapter 4 and verse 37, the Bible says, having land, sold it, listen to what it says, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right, so here's what we see. We see in the Bible that he's practicing something in his life that you and I ought to practice, and that is called stewardship. Are you going to see here that Barnabas, I believe, in the church, and by the way, if Barnabas is a tough name for you tonight, you can call him Barney if you want to, but you could see that Barney is in the church tonight, if you will, and all of a sudden the pastor gets up, and the pastor says, "We have a great need for stewardship in the church. We have a great need that God needs to supply the money for what is going to be taking place in the church. I don't believe that Barnabas looked in front of him. I don't believe that Barnabas looked behind him. I don't believe that Barnabas looked to the right side of him or the left side of him. But I believe that Barnabas looked down inside of his life to find out if he had something to meet that need, like several of you did this morning. And I thank God for several of you this morning as a pastor, as I look at our finances and I say, boy, we've got to go forward. We have got to go forward. And I think many of you reached down and have done before and said, you know, I'm going to help us to be able to go forward. That's what Barnabas did. You know, Barnabas just decided that if there's a need, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to meet that need. And he didn't look for somebody else's approval, and he didn't look for somebody to pat him on the back, and he didn't look for his names to be edged someplace so that everybody could read it and so that everybody could give accolades of praise. He didn't do that, but I believe that from his heart, he really wanted to please God. Now, I believe that Barnabas stepped out and he obeyed the Lord by bringing that which was the sell of that land and to lay it down at the apostles' feet. Now, what is it tonight to be a model church member? What is that? I'll tell you what that is tonight. To be a model church member is somebody that says, I'm going to give my all to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take and give not just my personality and not just my ability and my talent, but I'm even going to reach down and I'm going to sacrifice myself to make sure that the church of God goes forward and that the church of God does not suffer in a financial way, and that we're still able to run the buses and we're still able to get the gospel tracts out. We're still able to go soul winning and we're still able to support the missionaries and we're still able to go and do what God would have us to do. You know, a Christian that is really on fire for God is not going to be a selfish Christian. A Christian that's really on fire for God is not looking about me first, is not looking about who can pat me on the back and who can give me that special type of recognition, but a Christian that's on fire for God and a Christian that wants to go forward to accomplish the will of God in their life is going to look out for the needs of others for the sake of the gospel. Statement number one, you're going to see that he practiced stewardship. Statement number two, you see something else about Barnabas here, and that is he extended friendship. He extended friendship. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, the Bible says when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assailed to join himself to the disciples. Now understand what's happening here. He went to the big church. He went down to the big church. He went down to the church at Jerusalem. Now here is Saul. You understand who Saul is? Saul is the one that persecuted the church. Saul is the one that would stand up in the back of the church and he would rake havoc in the back of the church. He would mock the preaching of the word of God. And many times the Bible says that Saul would follow people into their own cities and he would apprehend them. He was the one that would give witness against them in the court, make sure that they were persecuted. He was an enemy of the church. And there was a day when Saul received Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, the Bible says when Saul was come to Jerusalem, now he's coming there where that great church is. The Bible says he assailed to join himself to the disciples. And they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And so now all of a sudden Saul is coming up. And by the way, there's no better place to grow than to get around somebody that knows the Bible. And so he decided, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get down there beside the disciples, these great, renowned men of God that know the Bible. I'm going to get close to them because if I'm going to grow, I need to get close to somebody that knows the Bible. And so he traveled all the way over to Jerusalem. He decides that he's going to join himself with the disciples. But the disciples said, now, wait a minute. I don't want you to be around me. I'm afraid of you. I don't know if you've really believed. Now, wait a minute. Here comes Barnabas. Look at it in Acts chapter 9 and verse 26. The Bible says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way and how that he had spoken, watch it now, it says to him, and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so here comes Barnabas. Barnabas comes along. He knows that all of a sudden, come here if you will please, watch this. So Barnabas, all Barnabas does is say, look, I know that the disciples have rejected you. I know that they're afraid of you, but I'm not afraid of you. I'll take you in as a young Christian. I'll help you as a young Christian. I'm not afraid that you're not like I am, but I'll help you and I'll bring you to where you ought to be. You know what he did? He extended friendship to a young Christian. You know, for some reason in Christianity, here's what we think. We think that when somebody gets saved, if they don't turn out to be just like you are, as soon as they get saved, then all of a sudden you back away from them because you're afraid they might infect you. Now, I agree you ought to protect your children. And I agree you ought to protect your teenagers. But I'm talking to adults tonight. I'm talking to adults that ought to love people enough to extend a hand to a new believer. Somebody just got saved. Somebody doesn't know the Bible. No, they don't look like you. And they don't smell like you. And they don't walk like you. And that's why they need you in their life. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we see tonight. He extended friendship. He said, those disciples, they're afraid of you. But I've got news for you. I saw you preach. I saw you get saved. I saw you preach. And I'm not afraid of you. And so he extended a hand of friendship. How many churches across America could be in great number tonight if they'd simply be friendly to somebody that comes inside the church door? How many churches across America could have new believers that are sitting in their pew and that are growing if somebody would stop being so stuffed shirt and somebody would just decide to extend a friendship and get their snotty nose out of the air pretending that they're Mr. or Miss Righteous? Hey, I'm saying tonight, there's some adults that need you in their life. Why don't you stop living your life and dying to yourself? But why don't you decide to help somebody tonight? I'm saying that he extended friendship. Look at it, if you will. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. Give me another young man. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord was with them. It says, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Hey, not only was he somebody that practiced stewardship. Not only was he somebody that extended friendship. But he was somebody that was a bridge builder. You understand that Barnabas was somebody that was trusted. Here there was a great, you'll read your Bible and you'll see the story. At Antioch, a very small church, very young church. All of a sudden at Antioch, there was a great revival taking place. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. And that church of Jerusalem, that big mammoth church at Jerusalem, they didn't believe that all that was happening. So they said, we're going to send an investigator. We're going to send somebody down there to see if it's really true. Because after all, we don't believe that many people could be saved. And so what takes place is they look out among the brethren. And they say, we've got to find somebody to go. Notice in your Bible, Acts chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible says, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Tidings of what things? Tidings of multitudes of people being saved. Tidings of a great revival taking place. And all these things now come to the church that's at Jerusalem. It comes to their ears. What do they do? The Bible says, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They said, we got to find somebody that we can trust. We got to find somebody that's not going to fabricate, make up, or explode a happening. Exaggerate. We got to find somebody that's honest. So they looked out among themselves and one person came to mind. Who was that one person? It was somebody that stayed right with God financially. Who was that person that they trusted? It was somebody that brought a new believer into their presence when everybody else was afraid. Who was it that they trusted? It was somebody that they saw in their presence that they could trust more than they could trust perhaps even themselves. So they sent him all the way to Antioch. Investigation is now going to take place. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. The Bible says, and when he came, he had seen the grace of God, was glad. Bible says when he came and he had seen the grace of God, he was glad. Now watch what else he does. And exhorted them all with purpose of heart that they should cleave unto the Lord. He said, look, don't change a thing. He said, boy, I've come over here. I heard that there was a great revival taking place. I heard that many lives were being changed. And he said, I came to investigate and I'm seeing. And what I am seeing is making me glad. He said, I'm just going to exhort you. You just keep doing what you're doing. You just stay with the Lord. You just keep obeying the Lord. Now, wait a minute. What was it? He was a bridge builder. Here, that church at Jerusalem, I was looking at that church at Antioch and saying, well, I just don't think it's really happening. I can't see how that would be happening. And Barnabas was chosen, and Barnabas was sent to Antioch, and he investigated, and he found out it was true. Then he came back with a good report. By the way, don't be ashamed to give a good report when a good report is due. Don't be ashamed to encourage somebody. Somebody walking down a hallway and they're trying to live for Jesus. Will you encourage them? You help them. Listen, here's what the Bible says, that he was practicing stewardship. Statement number one. Statement number two, he was extending friendship. Statement number three, he was a bridge builder. Statement number four, I want you to think about this. He was a developer of discipleship. He was developing discipleship. I want to show you something about this to help you. Look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. The Bible says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. Now, we have to understand where he's at. He's a traveled man. He left the church of Jerusalem, and he went all the way over to Antioch. And now he sees what's happening in Antioch. That's a pretty long journey. So he gets to Antioch, leaves Antioch, and decides, well, I need to go get somebody to help me. So he leaves Antioch and goes all the way over to Tarsus where Saul is. Now, this is not easy traveling. They didn't have taxis back then. They didn't have a motorcycle back then. He is traveling probably by foot. So he's at Jerusalem, leaves Jerusalem, goes all the way to Antioch, sees what's happening, and he senses there's a great need to help these people. Watch what he does. So he leaves Antioch and travels all the way over to Tarsus to get Saul to do what? Watch this. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, who when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them all, says, with a purpose of heart to cleave unto the Lord. That's what he saw. That's what he did. As he's doing that, he's thinking about one person he can get involved. He's thinking about a new believer that's a long way away. This new believer by the name of Saul was not in Antioch. This new believer that was the name of Saul was all the way over in Tarsus. Wasn't somebody that lived across the street. Wasn't somebody that lived just in Mesquite. Wasn't somebody that lived just in Garland. Wasn't somebody that lived just in the Dallas metro area or even Fort Worth. No, this is somebody that he's going to leave, and he's going to travel a long journey just to get to that person. Now watch what takes place, if you will, in your Bible. Look at verse 26, Acts chapter 11. The Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So here he is. He's at Jerusalem. They look out. They see. Look, I don't understand. I'm hearing stuff that's taking place down at Antioch. Don't know if it's true. We got to find somebody that's an investigator that is true in his word. It's not going to blow something up or make the event look better than it really is. And so they say, oh, that's it, Barnabas. Barnabas, somebody that was trusted with his funds. Barnabas, somebody that extended friendship. Barnabas, that would see deeper inside of somebody than what others would see just by looking on the surface. And so they looked out, they found Barnabas inside the church. They said, Barnabas, you go over to Antioch. Goes over to Antioch. He sees the church there at Antioch. Great things are happening. People are being saved. He gets excited about it, and he remembers that Saul over there. And he thinks that this would be a good experience for a new believer. I could kill two birds with one stone. Hello. So he travels all the way from Antioch all the way over to Tarsus. He gets Saul. He's got to find him throughout the town. He finds Saul. He convinces Saul to come all the way back to Antioch. That's a lot of effort to put into somebody that just got saved. But here's what he did. The Bible says, listen to what it says here. Verse 26, Acts chapter 11. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church. So here's a bunch of new believers, bunch of new believers at Antioch. And he goes over and he gets this other believer that has just been saved, but yet saved longer than these people. And he says, I want you to come with me. We're going to go back to Antioch, and we're going to spend a whole year there together. And what we're going to do is we're going to teach them. Boy, you know, when I got saved, I had a burden for my public school. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. When I was coming up Catholic, we were told that only the priest could interpret the scriptures. There was not a Bible you could find in my entire house, because we believed that only the priest could have proper interpretation of the scriptures. And when I received Jesus Christ and I prayed and God gave me a Bible. When God gave me a Bible, God gave me a young man in my life. Of course, the one that led me to Christ, and he walked beside me and he helped me. And for a whole year before I ever went to Bible college, had somebody walking beside me. And by the way, I didn't look like everybody else that was in that church. When I got saved, I didn't look like a saved man. Come on. Man, when I was walking in that carnival ground, don't forget, I had hair down my shoulders. Now, I came from an upper class type of family. My dad worked at a bank and we had money. But you listen to me. I didn't know anything about Christianity. And that boy by the name of David Lee took me underneath his wing. He and I studied the Bible together. We walked together. We talked together. He got me in church. Nobody, not one person, was snooty to me. Not one person looked down on me. Not one person said an ill thing behind my back that I knew of. He walked beside me and he helped me. You know what he was doing? He was trying to disciple me. Now watch what takes place. This is so good. If you'll get this, this will change your life. The Bible says when he had found him, he brought him onto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church. Now watch what happens here. And taught much people. Hey, it said for a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church. And it says that they were the ones that taught much people. Here's a new, you know what you ought to be doing with somebody you led to Christ? You ought to be bringing them with you, setting them beside you in church, taking them soul winning with you, helping them to be able to understand the Bible. For some reason in fundamentalism, we have messed up royal. Here's what we do. We lead people to Christ, and then out of that, we get a select few that get baptized. Then out of that, we don't even help them any farther. We get them saved and we get them in the water. And we think if we get them into saved and we get them in the water that we're through. We are not through. That is not what the Bible teaches. Here was a man that left Jerusalem, went to Antioch, left Antioch, went all the way over to Tarshish, got at Tarshish, came all the way back to Antioch bringing that new believer. And together they taught. Wonder who the master teacher was. Wonder who was the one that was helping Saul learn the Bible. Oh, there's no better way to have assurance of your salvation, beloved. You listen to me tonight than for you to go soul winning and tell somebody else how to be saved. Because as you rehearse, and he knew that. Barnabas knew the way to help Saul was to get him involved in helping somebody else. Oh, wait, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when he came and he had seen the grace of God, talking about there at Antioch, he said, I'm glad about what I'm seeing and I exhort you. Stay with it. Stay with that same purpose. He said, now you stay here and you stay with it. And as soon as he left, he shot over to Tarshish. He picked up Saul, brought Saul back. The Bible says, and for 1 year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You know why? Let me tell you something. Because they were changing on the inside and the outside. There was a remarkable change. They were not called Christians by themselves. If you know your Bible, they were called Christians by others, and it was a mockery name. Christians meant Christ-like. How in the world did they know that they were Christians? Because they were Christ-like. In other words, they were changing on the inside out. And they were changing so much that they were so different that those that were the enemies of Christ said, all you are is a little Christ. That's all you are. You talk different, you walk different, you act different, you dress different, you carry yourself, you're different. You're nothing but a little Christ. Called them Christians. Now wait a minute, watch this if you will. He practiced stewardship. He extended friendship. He was a bridge builder. He developed discipleship. Watch this, one last thing and I'm done tonight. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, if you will. Look at verse 36. One last thing. He was a builder of relationships. Watch this. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. The Bible says, in some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit. Now watch what happens here. Watch how it changes. In some days, watch it. In some days after, says Paul said unto Barnabas. Doesn't say that Barnabas said unto Paul. Said that Paul said unto Barnabas. You notice how it changed? Derek, come up and take this one. It changed. Now, why did it change? Because now that young believer was strong enough to lead. And he felt so confident in his leadership that he turns to the one that's been leading him and says, now you follow me. How do you know when you have discipled somebody and helped somebody enough? Let me tell you. You have discipled and helped somebody enough when they take charge. When they step out on their own and say, no, no, let you and I go. And they take charge in a spiritual journey. Where, how do you know when you've discipled somebody enough? When they are mature enough to stand on their own two feet. When you don't have to try and send out the Christian FBI to find them to get them in church. Now they're coming to church all by themselves because they're a big boy. Now they're coming to church all by themselves because they're a big girl. You don't have to call and check on them. They're here. You know why? Because now they've become a leader and not a follower. But it takes a lot of work to get a person to be a leader and not a follower. Now wait a minute. Here's what it says. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15 verse 36. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas. Says let us go again and to visit the brethren in every place where we have preached the word of the Lord. And see how they do. You notice that he is concentrating on the word of the Lord. He's not saying, let's go check them out and see how they're doing educationally. He didn't say, let's go check them out and see how they're doing socially. He said, let's go check on those people that we preach the word of the Lord just to see how they're doing in the Lord. Let's go check on them. Now, let me show you something. Jared, come here. Jared Wells, you come here. Watch this. And so I've got a young Christian that I've led to the Lord. Come down here if you will. He's walking along the Damascus Road and let's just say that God speaks to his heart and all of a sudden he gets saved. When he gets saved, when God brings somebody in his life, let's say God brings a Parkside Baptist Church member in his life, a soul winner that cares, and shows him how to be saved and he gets saved. Boy, he's excited. Did you know that somebody that gets saved, they want to learn more? Did you know that? Did you know somebody that really gets saved, there's a hunger that the Holy Ghost puts inside of them to learn more? Then all of a sudden, we don't follow them up, but the Jehovah Witness comes, knocks on their door, and then they begin to study with the Jehovah Witness. You know why? Because they want to learn more. All right, so he gets saved, and then he says, boy, I tell you what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down to that old-fashioned Baptist church there in Jerusalem, that big church down there, that one that sits on the corner. That one that has all these people talking to everybody else about Christ. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to go in and I'm going to appear before the preachers. Now you understand he didn't have such a good testimony before. You understand that he was a murderer before by trade. So he goes down to that big old church in Jerusalem and he tries to come into the door. And as he tries to come in the door, they say, oh, he's coming. Oh, he's coming. That's Saul. He's the destroyer of the churches. Oh, he's going to come in and destroy our church. Go away. And they're afraid and they hide from him. But there was one guy, Barnabas, that wasn't afraid of him. boy, he hears that he goes to that church and he says, wait a minute, I saw you. You're that one that got saved on that Damascus Road. I saw you, how you preached with boldness. I saw you. You're the one that wasn't ashamed of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, bud. You need to meet these disciples. Can you imagine the story that he told? He brings them over and come here, stand up, disciple. He brings them over and he introduces them to a disciple. But it was because of Barnabas that this ever took place. I'm saying we need some Barnabases in our life. Somebody's not afraid to take somebody and bring them to the truth. Somebody's not afraid to take and bring them to an old-fashioned church where the truth is preached. Hey, listen. And so what takes place is Barnabas introduces them together. And then all of a sudden, he goes back to Tarsus. He goes back over there and he sits over there in Tarsus. And so he goes back to what he's doing with his ministry. And so they hear that there's a great revival that takes place over there at Antioch. They say, we know somebody's going to tell the truth. We know somebody. We watched him. That's that same guy when the preacher said there's a financial need that rose up and he didn't look to the right and he didn't look to the left and he didn't look behind him and he didn't look in front of him. And that was Barney. And Barney rose up and ran to the front and said, preacher, I'm in this with you. Let's go forward and accomplish something great for God, not just the nominal thing. Let's see God do something great. Let's partner together. And he gave what he had in stewardship. When he gave what he had in stewardship, you notice how God opened the door of influence in Barnabas' life? Because if a man's not going to let loose of his dollar, he's going to have a hard time letting loose of other things in his life. So it all started with that stewardship practice. So when he practiced stewardship, all of a sudden, those that was in the church looked out and said, now wait a minute, we need somebody that's honest. Somebody that's true. Looked out and they saw Barnabas and said, Barnabas, go down there to Antioch. Oh, I know it's a distance away, but go down there and check that thing out. That little bitty church saying they're having revival and people are getting saved everywhere. Check it out. I don't know if it's true. Go check it out. Traveled all the way to Antioch, found out it's true. He rejoiced with them, said, stay with it, stay with it. Reported back to Jerusalem, maybe sent a wire or something, I don't know, but got that note back there. And then he leaves there and goes all the way over to Tarsus. So he gets over there at Tarsus, he looks around, he tries to find Saul, and he finds Saul, and he says, come on, son, we're going to go back here, and you wanted to be around somebody that would teach you truth. Guess what? You found him. Let's go over here, and let's get here in Antioch. And so he puts him in Antioch, and for one solid year, they worked together. Boy, when I was in public school, I had a burden for all my public school mates to get saved. I didn't know what to do, Brother Moore. I just got saved myself. I never picked up a Bible in my entire life. I had no idea. But I had me a preacher. I went to my preacher and I said, preacher, I said, I think I can get me a public school Bible club going. If you'll tell me what to say it. I'll be your mouthpiece. He said, I like that idea. So I'd get sermons from my preacher, and I wasn't called to preach at that time. I'd never surrendered to preach. But I'd go to that public school, and I could rally people. I'd go to that public school, and I'd start getting these guys to come, and I'd say, come on, man. You know, I was the captain of the track team at that time, and I said, come on now, let's get over here. Hey, where were you? You need to be there. I'd get them rowdy. Before you know it, I was running 150-plus in my Bible club. Man, I'm leading people to Christ. Hey, listen, you know, God wants to use you. You don't have to have a lot of talent. You don't have to have a lot of education. You don't have to have a lot of ability. What God's looking for tonight is availability. Boy, and I tell you, people getting saved. And I led my vice principal to Christ. Led my history teacher to Christ. And I'm a new believer. I don't know nothing. I'm saying that, look, God looks at you and he sees that you're giving what you can give and you're extending some friendship and you're helping somebody, but everybody needs a part of this in their life. Everybody needs somebody to help them to become what they ought to be. Wait a minute, watch this if you will. You see that Barnabas, I'm getting to the good part, you stay with me. He practiced stewardship. He extended friendship. He was a bridge builder between those two churches. He discipled someone until the point that now all of a sudden Saul, that's not called Saul anymore. Did you notice your verse? He's called Paul. God changed him completely. So all of a sudden, you know, he followed Barnabas around. Before you know it, Saul, that's now called Paul, said, hey, look, let's go back to all those churches. And he takes lead. How do you know when you've discipled somebody enough? I'll tell you, when they get more excited about God than you are. How do you know when you've discipled somebody enough? I'll tell you, when they got more standards in their life than you do. How do you know when you've discipled somebody enough? I'll tell you, when they love their Bible more than you do. How do you know when you've discipled somebody enough? I'll tell you, because when you're 5 minutes late for Sunday school, they're calling you, wondering where you were. You know, we give up on people so easy. We quit on people. So, well, I'll tell you what, I encouraged them, and then they came, and then they missed. Okay, so go help them again. You didn't give up on your baby the first time they fell and they didn't walk. You got down there like daddy and like mama, and you said, come on, honey. You can walk. Get up again. You can make it. Take that step. Everybody needs somebody in their life. Oh, wait a minute. Watch this. Thank you, Jared. Be seated down there in Tarsus. Here's what the Bible says, and I'm done. The Bible says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Acts chapter 15, verse 36. The Bible says, let us go again and visit, it says, our brethren. And in every city, that means they did a lot of preaching, in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. He was concerned about others more than he was concerned about himself. Young believer. Look at verse 37. The Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. You remember John Mark? You remember John Mark that decided, I don't want to go with Paul? You remember that? Now it comes time to take him on a trip. The Bible says in verse 38, notice your Bible, Acts chapter 15. The Bible says, but Paul thought it not good to take, watch it, him with them, who departed, it says, from them at Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So here is Paul. Now remember who Paul is. Paul was one time Saul that would not have been used of God if there was not a Barnabas. Hello. Now all of a sudden Paul gets stuffed shirt. He said, well, you know, he left us before, and well, I'm not going to get him now. I mean, after all, he left. Since he left one time, oh, I get my righteous indignation flares up at Christians that think that once somebody falls, that they could never be used again until they meet their certain criteria. God didn't die and make you boss. Isn't it amazing to me how Peter fell? He went against God. He turned his back on the church and everything. And 15 days after he did that, God said, I'm going to use you to preach the greatest sermon recorded in the New Testament. Yet sometimes when somebody falls in the sin or somebody does something wrong, you say, well, they've got to prove themselves to me. Well, God bless you, Holy Ghost. I mean, come on. Why don't we allow the same type of grace that God allows? Now watch what it says. Here's what it says. The Bible says right here, and Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. And that's Barnabas deciding that. The Bible says, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them. The Bible says, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Look at verse 39 and 40, and I'm done. Here's what it says. The Bible says, watch what it says. And the contention was sharp between them. And they departed asunder, one from the other. Why was there contention? I'll tell you, there was contention because one wanted to help somebody and the other one didn't. One wanted to reach out to somebody that was not as strong as he was. And the other one thought that he was so self-righteous that he couldn't. Well, you're quiet, aren't you? Well, here's what it says. The Bible says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark, the Bible says, and sailed onto Cyprus. Look at verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren, onto the grace of God. So one reached out to that one that was backslidden and said, come on, I can help you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you to a place where you can be used of God all over again. I'm not giving up on you. That was Barnabas. Paul said, wait a minute, you don't understand. That John Mark, he forsook me one time, and if you forsake me one time and you don't serve beside me, then forget you. I'm never going to help you again. You had your shot. Boy, that's real Christianity, isn't it? I wonder whatever happened to John Mark. You ever wonder? Listen to me. The Bible talks about, there's books of the Bible, doesn't it? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say it with me. You ready? Matthew. One more time. You ready? Mark? You mean we have the gospel of Mark because Barnabas reached down to a backslider? Hello? Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 11. I wonder if Paul ever changed his tone about Mark. The Bible says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Wow, even Paul changed his attitude about John Mark. We need some Barnabases. If ever there was a time at Parkside Baptist Church when we're seeing so many people get saved, if ever there was a time at Parkside Baptist Church when we're seeing so many members come into the church, we need some people that say, I'll be a Barnabas. I'll be somebody that practices stewardship. I'll be somebody that extends friendship. I'll be somebody that builds a bridge. I'll be, yes, that person that tries to disciple somebody and help them. And by the way, that takes a lot of work. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of work. I'll be that person that develops a relationship with someone else. I'm simply saying tonight, we need some Barnabases.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.